Builds with Blocks, a show centered around the micro-action figures and brick-based construction sets of the Halo universe. I'm your host, Colin Perkins, and I'm joined by Matt Salvatore.
How we doing? I've returned.
He's back! And Gabe Clem.
The man. Hey, guys.
So, we're here to talk about some Halo Infinite, because Halo Infinite finally released. We're very excited. Fair warning, this is a full-on spoiler show. So if you have not played Halo Infinite or the story, then turn back now and come back when you're done, because we're going to be talking about the game and how the toys, the Mega Constructs, the Jazzwares, anything else that's out there, are represented within the game. So are they fair representations of what we played? Are they good? Are they bad? What are our thoughts about that stuff? As you know, we usually talk bricks, talk Mega. We're going to kind of cover a little bit of everything today. So before we jump into that main topic, let's go around the table quick and see what we've been up to on the Halo front, because it's more than just blocks these days. We're all excited about Halo and all the great coverage it's had. So I'm going to toss it over to Matt, too. It's been a while, Matt. What have you been up to?
It's been a while. I have, like, tripled my Mega Constructs collection since the last episode.
Right.
But Halo... Halo-centered, I've been able to get the Wasp, the Razorback.
Nice.
I think I mentioned last time I got the Brute Chopper. So I've been able to collect all those, had a fun time building them, even used them in a latest stop motion.
But
Halo Infinite. I've played it. I have seen the glory that is Halo Infinite.
right.
There's a
Did
lot
it live
to
up to
it.
Your expectations, do you feel like?
I don't know. Expectations are a hard thing.
Yeah, right.
I think in many ways it exceeded my expectations, and in a lot of ways, not in a lot of ways, in some ways I was kind of underwhelmed because of my expectations. So
sure.
Some things I think were perfect, and others I think they kind of let me down. But on a whole, I love... absolutely love Halo Infinite. I think there's the good far outweighs the bad, and it's not even close.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
I think it's probably gonna be up there with some of my top three Halos at least.
Yeah,
and that's only only first time playing. So I have definitely enjoyed my experience there.
So you've completed the game. You've played the campaign. What'd you play on, normal or heroic?
I did normal because I suck, so I wanted to play the game and just kind of immerse myself without having to, like, die all the time, because that'll just kind of ruin the experience. You know, I had my ass handed to me on normal, so.
Yep. And then have you – how much have you collected? Are you 100% or have you gone around and done everything?
I'm at 61%, so okay. I think I've taken out all the HVTs.
Nice.
And I've taken all the fobs.
Okay.
And I've taken out some propaganda towers. Main campaign's done, so I'm at like 61%. So
nice. That's quite a bit. How about you, Gabe? How's your Halo going these days?
Well, like I mentioned in the last episode that I was on, I was very, very lucky, and I was fortunate enough that I got to play Halo early. And 343 graciously sent me a copy of the campaign. So launch day was buzzing. Like, everybody in the group, and obviously you probably saw on social media, everybody was just exploding with excitement. It was awesome seeing the public's reaction to everything that we had been testing, and it's been a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Just like Matt, first playthrough I went on normal because, like he said, I don't really like having to, like, focus too much on living as much I wanted to explore, just because the map is so big. And if you're on anything, I mean, I'm sure some pros, like, play on heroic or legendary just fine, but for me, normal just gives me enough of a challenge where I'm like, okay, enemies focus, kill them, but, like, otherwise I can just explore. I think my first campaign save, I'm at 99%.
Whoa.
99. What are you missing?
99. Oh, sorry.
Well, that's the thing. I'm confused how to get to 100% because I've gotten every UNSC and Spartan audio log, every Banished audio log. I've gotten all of the towers, I've done all the keeps, all the FOBs, and all the high-value targets. And I don't know what could possibly give me...
Have you taken out all the propaganda towers?
Yeah.
Okay.
All, like, 48 of them, or however many there are.
Have you found all the little Easter egg, the little stuffed animals? Stuffy things?
Yeah.
Okay.
Dang. I've heard people have 100% it, so you're just missing something.
You just gotta... save and quit, and then log back in, and it'll give you that 1%.
Right. Yeah. Turn it off and on again.
Yeah, exactly.
Outside of the game, I actually received 2 of the anniversary sets.
Nice.
That we here on Podcast Evolved were able to help reveal.
That's right. We were able to reveal that.
Super excited about that.
I'm still salty about it. I don't want to talk about it.
I've already cracked one open and started customizing a couple of the figures. Like
beauty.
Oh my god, I've been waiting forever.
Yeah. Congrats, man, that's awesome.
But I got those. Also, I guess this is the first time I can officially say it, because I haven't posted it anywhere. If you go to HaloWaypoint.com and check the living credits of Halo Infinite, you will find my name as a special thanks in Infinite's credits.
Heck yeah.
Damn, that's amazing, son. Dude.
That's super cool.
Yeah, a couple days ago, I was screaming and crying and so excited because I can't believe I'm in a Halo game, but...
Yeah.
holy crush. We know someone who's in the credits of Halo.
Yeah.
That's super cool,
It's been
man.
A lot of fun. It's been great time, but... Yeah, now, I'm excited to talk about the campaign and all the toys.
Did you complete all of the campaign before launch day?
Yes, the night that I was sent the build, I completed the campaign.
Oh wow!
You just went for it.
I was so excited. I mean, I was on it like all night long. I've been waiting forever.
Dang!
So you mainlined it then? So you didn't do a bunch of the side stuff. You just went through the story.
Yeah, that's mainly what I did. I did like keeps and FOBs here and there just to make it easier for myself. But I didn't think there was a lot of point because the build we got. Mm. Progress didn't save and achievements didn't unlock. So I thought, what's the point of going through everything if I'm just going to have to do it again?
Right. That's interesting.
I just waited for launch day and I did it. But yeah, main story was my first target.
Dang.
High value, if you want to consider it.
Yeah. I think the first time I played it, I sat for like 5 hours.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because I just got out of work.
Long sessions.
Yeah.
I'll tell you, and I'll mention this quickly. For all the people, I will never understand how people do like Lasso Infinite. Like I've seen a few people who have done that already. Normal kicked my butt. Like the first time I played it was because I wasn't.
No joke.
I just wasn't ready for it. But like the bosses on Normal, my lord, that was tough.
Yo,
I was not expecting
Jaga was like I was like.
Yeah, because the camo is so good in this game. He'll be right in front of you and you don't even know it.
Oh, his was even better. Like they didn't even give it that shimmer.
Right. Yeah.
And then they had that little message playing and I'm like, this ain't like some horror movie creepy ass thing. Yeah. Where like they're like, so big. I'm like, shut up, he's in here.
That's very good.
It was,
I'll go quick here. So I put together the Wasp, which I remember when we first saw the Wasp, we were like, that thing's kind of small.
Sweet.
Because we thought about how it was compared to the Halo 5 Warzone Wasp.
Mm-hmm.
And having this and playing the game, like this thing's perfect compared to like how it is in the game. Honestly. The Wasp is just a little teeny thing that gets dropped off in front of you. Like it's tiny. So I feel like Mega deserves some props for like you designed this based off of what was in Infinite, as you should have, and it was smaller than the other one, but the other one was bigger, right? And I think we kind of talked about that at some point. So they didn't skimp or anything like that. It was just this is what it was looked like in Infinite, which I think is great. Mm-hmm. So building that was a lot of fun. I feel like I talked about the Razorback too, but I did get the Razorback and I built that already. And then, play through the campaign. And I did a normal in my first playthrough and played it more like, and I give credit to Oren because I was struggling with, like, do I play in heroic? Do I play in normal? I don't have a ton of gaming time. So, like, how do I get through? And I don't want to get spoiled. And then I talked to Oren from Podcast Evolved, and he said, You know, I'm going to play it like I'm saving the universe, right? Like, I need to get, you know, I'm chief, and I'm going to go, and if there's something along the way that maybe will benefit me, then I'll get that. But otherwise, I'm just going to go through the story and save the world, or, you know, whatever, you know, do the thing.
Yeah. What would Chief do? What would he value more?
Yeah. Right. So, like, but whereas the open world aspect and, like, normally, you know, like in Assassin's Creed or Far Cry and all that sort of stuff, like, I'm going off on tangents and, like, you know, not really caring about the main story. But for Halo, you got to go, you got to mainline that. So, anyway, I know other people took their time, and there's obviously, you know, that's the way you wanted to play it. And everybody should enjoy it the way they want to. But 100%. I felt like I wanted to get through it. Yeah. And now I'm going to go back. So now I've completed the campaign, and now I'm going back into my normal save, and I'm going around to collect everything and just kind of chipping away at that. Meanwhile, I'm playing some multiplayer to keep my battle pass going. And I have reached 100 on my battle pass already.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Whoa, I saw that.
You are way ahead of me.
Well, it's made, so I bought premium. It was, what, 10 extra bucks for that. And then, so you get 25 extra levels. And then I'm maximizing my double XP. So with all the dailies, you hit a double XP, and then all of a sudden you get like double the 1,000 kind of gimme that you get XP, and then plus if you do any of your challenges, you're getting double for all that sort of stuff.
Wow.
So I pretty much just kind of maximized that on my, like, for the last couple of weeks, and so now I'm up to.
Do you do it? So. Do you go in PvP for your dailies, or do you do it in bots just to get it over with?
I never went into bots, just all dailies. So yeah, and I'm not that good. Oh, okay. I'm not, you know, my KD is probably under one, but I just went and, like, tried to do the challenges, you know, so, and just had fun, you know, and played a lot with the community.
Cool.
Matt and I played with once, been playing with a couple other buddies here and there, so yeah, it's been good.
I think we almost had a podcast evolved episode.
Yeah,
that's built with blocks. Tom, Colin, and I were on multiplayer for a bit.
Yeah, we played one. That was good. So yeah, overall, I'm super happy with the game, and super. And as I was playing again, like with the Wasp, I was like, that's great. So I really want to have this conversation where we're talking about how the toys that we, you know, talk about and love, how they showed up in the game. Yeah, how they translated. So let's start having that conversation a little bit. Let's toss it around. So let's go back. I think I want to go back to 20. When did we first learn about the Pelican? Was it 2019 when we first saw that thing? Or was it 2020?
It was our second episode.
Our second episode. So it would have been 2019 we knew about it, right? And that's when it released?
Wow.
Yep, that's when we got, I want to say it was official images. Because we never covered...
Official images in 2019. We didn't get it until 2020, though.
Yeah.
Yeah,
because it was July 2020, July, August 2020. Too. Yeah,
exactly. Because the Pelican was out right around a little before, I want to say... Or maybe a little after the E3 demo.
The demo. That's right. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So let's start with the Pelican, because we all love the Pelican. Like, it's this beautiful, you know, representation of the Pelican. It's 2,000 pieces, whatever. Mm-hmm. The pilot, it opens up in the back.
Mm-hmm.
The only thing that didn't translate for me playing the game is that you never really use the Pelican as a base. Like, you know, like I totally know what Mega was going for. Like, oh, it opens up, and then it's just kind of like it's like a little, and maybe something changed in the game. Who knows, right? But it's almost like, this is like my little forward operating base that goes around.
Yeah.
That never was part of the game, and that's fine. I love the fact that it can open up and do all those other things. Mm. But that was one thing that was like, oh, that would have been cool if at least there was maybe one mission where you go and, like, have to... you know, hang out in the Pelican for whatever reason. You know, there's a couple of cutscenes here and there. Gabe, what are your thoughts on how the Pelican was represented with what we have in hand?
Just aesthetically, I think that they did a really, really good job. Even in, like, when you split it apart and you can look at the like the crew quarters or the midsection of the Pelican, like, there's a lot of detail in there that they actually got, like, bang on, and it looks really good.
Mm-hmm.
I can't help but I know it would be way too expensive, but I can't help but think, like, what it would be like to have a, like, an accurate sized Pelican, like, to the figures. That way, like, two could be in the cockpit, or, like, have space to put an entire troop back there.
Calling Brickman, calling Brickman.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, hey, hey. But, I feel like they, they nailed the look of the Pelican. I'd agree that, like, it would have been cool to have a mission around maybe, like, saving the Pelican or, like, trying to, I don't know, trying to keep it away from the Banished or something, or just to use it more.
Or, like, defend the Pelican.
Seeing it in...
Yeah.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Other than just seeing it in cutscenes. But, I mean, it's the way that you transport throughout the entire campaign. It's what gives you all of your vehicles. I think they did a really nice job with it.
You know, one thing I'm just thinking of, you know how you can fast travel to all the fobs? They skipped any sort of, hey, the Pelican is the one that's grabbing you and dropping you off. It just kind of teleports you there, which is fine.
Yeah.
Again, the one thing that the Pelican does do, though, is it comes in and drops off your vehicles, which is cool. So you go and request the WAS, you request the Mongoose, and then you look up and there it is and it's dropping it off. So if you want to know how to attach your vehicles to that Pelican, check out Matt's video on that.
That's right, yeah.
Yeah, there you go.
I got to come up with one to carry the Wasp now, because I did the Scorpion and the Warthog.
Oof, yeah, that's true.
Actually, you can see that design in my latest stop motion. I actually have the Pelican dropping off the Warthog, and that's actually being held by the design. I still have it.
Mm-hmm.
I'll say on an exterior level, they nailed the Pelican 100%. Obviously, when you get into the interior, it gets a little difficult because, obviously, like Gabe said, it's not to scale. I guess the only thing I would probably say is maybe the back door could have used a little more flair.
Because it's like that wide back door, right?
Yeah, it's just a ramp. And I guess
just a ramp.
You know, it does have a ramp. Right, but like it's actually a door. Like I think of that scene when Chief jumps out of the spire, and he's like jumping into the back of the Pelican. You actually get a nice shot of that. And then I guess I was a little disappointed that the Pelican is just a generic Pelican in there. Like in the cutscenes, I guess when you look at it in the first time when the pilot brings you back, it does kind of look like someone's been living in there. They're like it is a base of operations. But for the rest of it, it just kind of seems like a generic Pelican interior. So I get that if you think about it, the Pelican that we have was like the first mission when the pilot picked you up. Then it kind of feels more like a that he customized it.
Sure.
But other than that, I think this Pelican's absolutely nailed. And I can't wait to get a little Jaeger Radomni to put in the back trying to stab the Pelican.
Oh, yeah.
There you go. That scene that scene creeped me out. I was like...
Oh, yeah, Jaeger. Yeah, we'll talk about him in a little bit if we get to, this might be a long episode, if we get to Jazzwares, but I have him right here. There he is, Jaeger. Let's talk about the Warthog. So at some point, the design that Mega got had the roll bars on it, and then they stripped the roll bars off. Right? Like, that's the main... Like, we love the Roadhog Rally in general. Like, we've all said we love it. And I don't have it next to me. But I think the only main difference. And that roll bar kind of on the hood was a carryover from Halo... Was it in 5, too? I know it was in Halo 4. Was it in Halo 5, too?
Yeah, Halo 4 and 5.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so at some point, they stripped that off somewhere along
the lines. Well, there was that discrepancy where I think... The Warthog has the like Halo 3 style turret guards, but then in game it's the Halo 4 one where it wraps around and under. Mm-hmm. And people were really confused about that.
The box.
Personally, I don't think it makes much of a difference. But
so the Warthog's just a mashup?
Detail. Yeah, I guess so. It's all a mashup. 20th anniversary Warthog.
I didn't even notice that the bars were not there in game. I absolutely. Yeah. Love the Infinite Warthog. I love it. It looks amazing. Yeah. And I think everything I've said about Warthog Rally is still true. I still think it's the greatest Warthog Mega's ever built.
It's amazing.
Mm-hmm. So, I'd say I guess, like I said, without the bars and maybe that other thing, just a couple of little tweaks, but I think the color and the feel of it, it actually, I think it grabbed that vibe, just same as the Pelican.
I want to talk about color really quickly because this is something I thought about while I was playing, and especially as I can apply skins to my Warthog in multiplayer. Do you think we're going to get some skins? Are we going to get another Warthog, but it's going to be like that Rockstar Black?
back in the day, Mega did like Wolverines, and then they did like the Arctic Wolverine, and then they did. Yeah. It's not above the possibility, you know. Especially if you know.
Yeah.
Especially if we always joke that there's a Warthog in every line, but.
Give them a reason to switch it up, yeah. Right?
Exactly.
Yeah, if they need to, they absolutely could. There's plenty of them. I'm sure we haven't even seen all of the potential coming to Infinite with the skins and everything. I mean, we've only gotten a glance at like 3 or 4 of them. I'm sure there's some really cool ones coming.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. The one you get, so the skin, and so now we can also, another thing we talk about, and I'll just, I'll intersperse this randomly because I don't have it in the notes, but when you bought the Pelican, you got that code for the skin, and that code for the skin is the light blue Warthog, right? So I was driving around. I was like, I've played a ton of multiplayer, and I was the only one. Anytime somebody got my Warthog, I was like, ooh, look at this one. This one's nice. Yeah. Where'd you get this blue skin? Like, that's from the Pelican.
Gotta get them Mega Blacks.
That's right. So I thought that was good. I hope so. I hope they're going down that line. And I'd be fine buying another Pelican or buying another Warthog or another Razorback in a different color. Like, and it's kind of like in-universe thing.
Uh-huh. I was really surprised when I went in-game and I saw that the coating I got from the Pelican was a blue and white Warthog. Like, I was like, how does this have anything to do with Mega or the Pelican? Because I was expecting it would, if it was any vehicle skin, I thought it was going to have little studs all over it, and it would be like a Mega Constructs vehicle.
Uh-huh.
And then it was something completely different.
Yeah.
And I was like, what? Okay, I guess this is it.
Can we just get like a Mega Construct skin for the whole game?
Yes. Hagar, man. I was thinking, remember Hagar got canceled? When did Hagar get canned? Did it get canned right around when they decided it was going to be an open world Halo Infinite? Maybe? Maybe?
Well, they canned him for a reason.
That's what I'm saying.
Because I don't have the MCX weapon charm because I never bought the energy sword. And now it's the only thing that I want, and I can't find that energy sword anywhere.
Like, it's in store still up here. I can send you one if you need.
Ooh, I might take you up on that deal, Colin.
A little tangenty, but so the weapon charm you get with the sword is a little Master Chief, Mega Constructs Master Chief, and he has the old style AR, right, which is a little goofy.
Yeah,
I think it looks great though. Like the little charm is fantastic, and this the one I've had it on my weapon a ton because it's like perfect, right? Mega Constructs, but that thing like that it just goes wild all the time. It bugs out all the time. Matt, do you have it?
I do have the code for it, but I just think like I saw a video of it. And I'm like, that distract me. I'd be like,
It does distract you a little bit.
I'm like, oh no, the enemies are that way. I'd be like trying to shoot my little. I'm distracted easily.
Yeah, it's a hefty weapon charm, and it does. It like flops around, and like I said, like it glitches out, and it just like you'll spawn into the world and or to the map, and your thing will just be going flying all over the place. It'll go back to normal when you switch weapons. You switch weapons and go back to it, and it's fine. But it's pretty funny.
It is super cool though. Like I don't know, like just like a little. It's neat.
Yep. Another weapon charm. Again, sorry for the tangent. Is the controller. So I got the Elite controller, and you get a code for a weapon charm. So you get the Elite weapon charm hanging off like your pistol or whatever. It's pretty dope.
That's cool.
All right, let's talk about. So we talked about Hog. We talked about Pelican. Let's just talk about the little mongoose for a second. That was one of the first waves. How do you think, Matt? You got it in hand. What do you think?
Yeah, I think this is probably like perfect. I guess it doesn't have the little bars either, to be honest.
Oh, you're right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, I guess. Minus the bars, I'd say it translated perfectly.
Yep. It's a tight little vehicle. It feels small, and it feels like it's kind of going to blow over in the wind, too.
Yeah.
And that was one of the criticisms of this one for us, right? When we looked at it first, it was like, oh, it's kind of tiny compared to like the one that, which one is it? The one that Meal's on, like that really beefy
mongoose. Yeah, that's still good. Mongoose, that's the best one. Yeah,
we love that design, but that's not the infinite design. This is more of the infinite design again, right, outside those bars. So yeah, I like that. And then there's the gun goose, which we've seen the gun goose that's coming.
Yep.
And really, it seems like the design, the only difference between the gun goose and the mongoose is just from the mega standpoint, is they just kind of stuck the guns on the front.
Yep.
Everything else looks the same, which is fine. You know, that's really all it is in game two.
I mean, yeah, exactly. So,
yeah. And I like driving the mongoose around. Sometimes I'll just, instead of calling in a warthog, I'll just call in a mongoose because I just want to go somewhere quick as I'm exploring the world. Mm-hmm. So
sometimes you just want to get on that open road.
That's right. Absolutely. Gabe, what do you want to talk about next? We've got a big long list. So let's stick with the first wave, if you have anything else in mind.
I really want to talk about the chopper.
Yeah, let's do it. Chopper because was second wave, wasn't it? But we can still talk about it.
We could talk about the skiff.
I just,
we'll talk about it.
I just know that, like, when I got in-game and I finally, like, was driving around and using the chopper often enough, that was probably one of the single best translations from game to block or toy form that Mega has ever done.
Totally agree.
It looked so spot on.
Down even to the, like, very colors.
Yeah, it just looks tough. Really, whenever I love getting in the chopper because it's just tough, right? Like, you know, and it can take a good amount of damage, and they can't really get to you if you're going towards them, right? You're kind of hiding behind that giant wheel, and it just feels like such a brute vehicle.
Yeah,
and they did such a good job turning it into a banished brute vehicle.
And it's such a brute vehicle too. Like, it's like a charge, no armor in the back, ball brawler. You know, like. It's like totally how the brutes fight. Like, we are going to run you over and not turn to our back, and we're not going to show our backs to you.
Yep.
I love it.
Exactly.
And I think back when we were talking about this, I still say it's the best one Mega's done yet. So seeing it, and there's something so amazing about having it in hand and then seeing it in game and then being like, wow, perfect. You know, it's like a really good feel because, like, as soon as you're driving around, you're like, oh, I'm going to get my chopper and have it with me.
Exactly. Sit it next to you while you're driving around.
Speaking of the chopper, something that Mega should totally look into doing now is remember when you go and fight Hyperius and Tavaris at Pelican Down, Hyperius has his own custom gold brute chopper
with
energy blades on it. And I bet you Mega could make that beautifully. I so very badly want them to do that set with maybe Tavaris, since Hyperius has already gotten a couple figures or a couple versions. Do the chopper, Tavaris, and I really don't want another Chief, but maybe put Chief in there.
This is what you do. You do the Hand of Atriox set.
Oh,
so you get Hyperius, you get Tavaris, you get Jega, you get the other.
You get them all. There's 15 high value targets, right? Just do a 20th anniversary. Oh. Just put them all in there, baby.
And they all have awesome long names.
There you go.
That's it.
I would love that.
The high value target.
Oh, there you
list.
Go.
Just call them the Hand of Atriox.
I'm into it. Okay, a couple other to talk about. We'll talk about. Let's talk about this now. Let's talk about that skiff that doesn't exist. What happened to the skiff?
It's there.
Where'd it go?
You just have to look left on the cutscene. Yeah. It's just over there.
So for the people that don't know or they haven't found it, because there's only one skiff on the entire map and it's mentioned one time in an audio log, the skiff that Mega made an entire description for and an entire set for depicting brutes driving it is nowhere in the game, actually, except for a rusted, broken-down skiff at the bottom of a waterfall with a bunch of brutes around it.
That's why you always look in waterfalls, kids.
It was really underwhelming. Like, back when they said, like, oh, you won't be able to drive it, I was like, oh, okay, at least it'll see something, and I thought it would deliver troops. No, it's nowhere in the game.
Okay.
I was like,
I was talking to Tom about this.
And yes, it's not in the game, but we all know Halo Infinite's like the 10-year plan of Halo, and who knows where that 10 years started. But well, that was it, guys. That was 10 years. We're done. We're
moving on. Yeah, right, but, exactly.
And obviously after you've basically destroyed the Banished at the end of the game, you know, the UNSC now kind of has control of Zeta, at least the portions that you're fighting for.
Yeah.
Wouldn't it make more sense that in like a DLC, if the Banished wanted to like try to reclaim that territory, they'd have light assault craft vehicles that move troops quickly? So maybe because the Brutes are in a stationary, we own the ring position, they broke down their light transport craft vehicles and made more of like a bunker type scenario, right? They built them into barriers, like the 2-in-1 build.
Ooh, yeah.
And also like that 2-in-1 build, I don't know if you guys have seen the Aatrox towers that are like Aatrox is like a televangelist.
Yes. Yeah. They're the red radio towers.
Yeah, and he's just, you know, gabbing about whatever. But that actually looks like pretty – it's a little thinner, but it reminded me of the Skiff's 2-in-1 build.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. So
that's
I mean,
a good call.
We could still see the Skiff, but until that time
– I think the Skiff
– I'll take it.
I think the Skiff, and it makes sense. It makes sense. I think that's a really good point. What you described makes sense, right? Because they are hunkered down. The Skiff, as I was thinking about it and knowing it was open world, is like, oh, it makes sense that they would need to move troops from like one outpost to another outpost to like go and attack Chief. So like as say, well, we're right in game right now. It's the Pelican or the Phantom. The Phantom will come in. It'll blare its large horn or whatever.
Which is
it like honks. Says, "Hey, I'm coming. Here we go."
It's so scary.
That horn is awesome.
I'm like, oh.
Exactly.
Okay, but
like a Viking horn.
But you can see that Infinite does need that, right? You have the UNSC Razorback, so you need the foil to it.
Yep.
So you need the Skiff.
Yep.
You can kind of see where it would have
we'll
played.
See a Skiff. I hope we will. I think that'd be cool. So it's a cool vehicle, but it just wasn't in there outside of a rusted version.
I'll take it.
Okay, let's see. We have... Let's close on... Well, no, there is two more. So AA gun. And if you want to see... So this seeing the AA gun in game made me so happy for Brickman because he nailed his... like
Fudge, yeah, he did.
The mock obviously is huge, but he also nailed the fact of like how important it is in Infinite because it's featured in a mission specifically, and then it's right in the middle of a giant multiplayer map too, and that thing fires every time you score a point, and it's amazing. So
the
obviously it's scaled; they can't do the scale right, like it's small, but it looks pretty good, right, in terms of accuracy to what it is.
Mm-hmm.
Do they have those things on the end? I didn't pay that much attention while I was going around.
I was going to ask about that.
Kind of pop off. Do you remember seeing those?
I never saw any little like. I don't think I saw anything like on the knees of the AA guns. I know when I'd watch it explode, I'd watch the main like shaft of the gun like kind of split in half and then rock back and forth and fall down.
Mm-hmm. This is what you guys are.
It's possible I missed anything with the legs, but I don't remember seeing anything like how Mega pictured it in that set.
I don't remember it being as pronounced. There might be something, but it's not like.
But it's also so big. Like when you're going into that thing, like I guess it's just it didn't seem like it was a like you said pronounced.
I think what interested me the most was that the way that you took out, and maybe on later AA guns you won't deploy the weapon to destroy them. Maybe you'll just hit these.
Right.
But if you look at like the way this is built, it obviously looks like these are meant to be destroyed.
Mm-hmm.
And if you look at even in the Adventures of Zeta Halo, that amazing stop motion that Mega put out, Chief shoots those.
Right. That's what I'm thinking of.
So perhaps at one time that was the way you destroyed the AA gun, because to me that feels very Halo. You have to destroy
the legs, you know, and then
you gotta destroy like very much like how you would take out a scarab. You take out the legs, you know, and so this would like expose something like it was the shield or open, I don't know, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I think maybe we'll see that later on down the road, or maybe it was just something that was scrapped.
Yep. At the time. Yep, that's a good point. Good set though, and we'll talk about characters in a while. But he—that's the first time we saw Hyperius in that set.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Okay, the last one for the first wave is the building box, and the building box is brilliant because it's perfect for forward operating bases, and you didn't know that when the building box came out. Yes. Right, the building box was just like, this is cool,
and pieces, it's on sale on Amazon.
Yeah. Oh, is it now? Nice. So go grab that if you don't have it, but you can essentially use all those pieces to create your own little forward operating bases or around mm-hmm. you know, your mock or whatever else, and I think it's brilliant. I think it's mm-hmm. I think it's perfect.
Yeah,
I built a forward operating base.
That's right, you did.
And by the time this episode is out, you should see it. It's it doesn't have a whole, well, because I left most of my mega like building blocks in a different location, so I just used Legos for this one. So I got to go get them, but one day I'll use the building blocks. But it's a good opportunity to stock up on those building boxes because I think they really allow you to build the terrain of Infinite. So,
mm-hmm. Yep, absolutely. Yeah, perfect set for that. Mm-hmm. Okay, so let's talk about the newer sets. We already did cover off on the Chopper, the Razorback. Do you want to talk about the Razorback, Gabe? Like this thing we've talked about it on the episodes, but this thing we finally get to drive this thing, which is great.
I don't own the Razorback.
Oh, you don't own
it. I don't own the Razorback. I've never seen one in stores. But from what I can tell in all the reviews and pictures I've looked at, it looks like a set that would look... It looks like a vehicle that would look good as a Mega Constructs set.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Like, it's just very angular and blocky and chunky. And very I think that they did a really good job capturing... Yeah. I think they did a good job capturing the shape. I know that I used the Razorback a lot on my second playthrough. Once you unlock like certain weapons, like I would load my Marines up with like explosive skewers and put them all on the back, and I was unstoppable. It was the most ridiculous thing I've ever done.
You're the most OP thing on that battlefield.
Exactly.
You never get a call in a Scorpion, do you? Do you get a call in a Scorpion at forward operating base? I don't think you do, right?
Yeah, you can.
Yeah. Yeah, you can.
Oh, you can. Okay, I was gonna say it's almost a lot, like a in place of a Scorpion, right? Because you got all those dudes in the back there. Like you almost got like five turrets. I love this thing. Usually, instead of getting a Warthog, I'll call in a Razorback.
Well, that way you can have more Marines with you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. And like Gabe said, you can give them power weapons and you can just blaze through it.
Oh, everything's gone.
So the only thing I'll say is like the first time that we saw the Razorback, I mentioned that the front doesn't look like the front, and I still kind of hold that sentiment, whereas like in game it feels flatter, more like a Lambo, and here it looks more vertical. So like the front is different. I think everything else is nailed perfectly, but the front is probably the only thing that I'd still kind of critique. But the Razorback is it's a joy. You know, I think after I finished the main campaign, I called in a Razorback, and then I loaded up my Marines. I gave one guy a sniper rifle, one guy a bazooka, one guy a skewer, and then somebody else had some other weapon. And I just drove around for maybe 3 hours, and we were just rolling with the same Marines. We'd lose a Razorback, but I'd still keep the Marines. We'd hop in another one, and we'd just go. And I was like, yeah, woo! It was like, I don't think I've ever felt that much euphoria just driving around in a Warthog Razorback kind of vibe. I was just like,
yeah.
You know, I love and then that. All those Marines survived.
It's a lot of fun.
That's perfect. The other nice detail that it has in the back is those power seat slots for multiplayer, which is super cool. Yeah. So overall, you know, overall happy with that. And then just the details inside, you know, not that you see those when you're driving, but... happy to have that as a part of the mix. Let's talk about. I already talked about the Wasp a bit. Do you guys have any other thoughts on the Wasp? Because this is the fun thing to fly around. It's a little weak in game. Like it can get shot down pretty quick. But like overall, I'm feeling good about this thing. Oh, I forget if you guys talked about in your reviews, but the way they did these, what are these? These engines
turbines.
Here? Yeah, like it's brilliant. They're just kind of stuck in there in the pieces. They don't stick. They're not like attached to anything. It's amazing. Mm-hmm.
I think they nailed it. I don't think there's anything that's out of place. I think one thing that Tom did raise is he didn't like that gap. I still don't like that gap either.
Oh yeah, I see that. Yeah,
that's all, you know, like it's like that that meme with the gap. That's all I see. But I do appreciate that the engines in the back go down all the way, just like in game. Maybe it could have used a little more of a smoother surface, but other than that, I say it's perfect. I say it's right amazing. On. Yeah, I love it. And you know, and I think Colin's point, where Mega scaled it back, not like back, but like scaled it down. And I appreciate that, you know, because I want to be able to hook this up to the back of my Pelican. And you can, because the Pelican's bigger. This is smaller. Yeah. I appreciate that. So, bravo. Yeah. I think
it all works out.
I think if we were ranking these, I'd say this was probably one of the most game accurate sets.
Yeah. We may rank these in a future episode.
Oh, most game accurate. Oh.
Oh, we like our ranking videos.
But
we like to rank.
But nothing is more perfect than this turret. Like, this is the Halo Infinite turret. Like, this is it.
Yeah.
I love it.
It's so good.
It's like the best little thing
ever. I will say the one critique I had for that turret is I really, really, really don't like that little plastic
paper thing
frame.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Just bends around it. I would have much rather they stuck with their old turret design, where it's the plastic frame, that little flimsy.
Well, because that's where you want to grab it from, and every time you go to grab it, you're like, oh wait, hold on, can't grab it there.
Yeah, so mine broke. Mm-hmm. One of mine broke when I was pulling it out, so I have to get a part replacement. So I taped it together. There's too much. You know,
that's the good thing is bend. You just use tape.
You can do it.
That is a fair critique, but. This, like, look-wise, nailed.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
It's beautiful.
They did great on that.
Yeah. Yep. And in the build, they have the alternate where you pop the shield off, right? And then you stick something else on the front just to so you can see what it looks like without.
Yes, you're right.
It's this energy piece. Shield. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah, I put it on the side right down here.
All right, what else did we get? We got the turret, we got the wasp. Oh, the ghost. We haven't talked about the ghost yet. I really like driving a ghost. I've always liked driving a ghost. I feel like the ghost in Halo Infinite is a great ghost, and if it felt like it could take a lot of damage, or maybe I just am good with the ghost now, that I could like survive a lot.
That might be it, because vehicles didn't last for me long at all. I felt like I was like constantly like Tony Stark with his Iron Man suits. Oh, it's done. I need another one.
I feel like the ghost was tanky, but movement on the ghost is abysmal. Like, I hate driving a ghost on anything that isn't one of the direct roads that are on the map.
Because of the rocky terrain. Pebble,
the whole ghost gets stuck or it flips over.
Oh, bro, I've gotten like, so many vehicles stuck.
I can't stand how low to the ground the ghost sits. Mm-hmm. Like, anything it touches will stop it in its tracks, and it really just bothered me.
Interesting. Maybe they have it down so much because, like, if a brute sat on it, it'd be like...
Maybe.
I'll tell you...
As for the set, or the little... For the build that they did, I think the build looks amazing. I kind of wish the plasma cannons on the front would have been a little more angular instead of just the regular ghost plasma cannon pieces that they use. Just because in-game, that's one of the only other identifying features is it has those really sharp, angular plasma cannons pointing out the front.
Yep.
But other than that, I feel like they, again, like they nailed that build. It looks great.
Hold on one sec. Oh, here it is. I don't want to use the word stripped down, but I guess I'm going to end up using that word. Compared to like the Halo Wars Banished Ghost, which I prefer. But this one is very close to the, if we're talking about game accurate, it's very close. It feels a little simplistic in its design, but I would say the main elements are there. You know, like you show this to anyone, it's like, yeah, it's the Infinite Ghost.
Like, yep. And it's, yeah, it's mainly the front, right? It's, right, it's the, exactly, back where it gets a little light.
Yeah. But it's, yeah. Well, yeah. Like the this part is okay. It's just this part right here. Yeah. And where I feel
where he sits.
Well, yeah, even this one's kind of stripped down. Like, I still think the benchmark for amazing ghosts is the ghost that Jewel Mandama came with. Yeah, I think that's great. The greatest ghost, because it's even got, like, the little footrests.
That is a really good one, yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I think if we just not cover the Banshee, that might be the only thing.
Yeah, Banshee's our last.
Well, can we technically classify the Scorpion Tank 20-in-1 build as an infinite Scorpion Tank? Because they're very similar.
Yeah, I mean, again, I still haven't built mine. You're the one that's done it, so okay, you go ahead and talk about that.
Okay, so with the... Oops, I just killed my Emil Warthog. I mean, Mongoose. So, this...
For the second.
I'd say is... I mean, like, I customized it, so I don't know if you guys can see that. I have the actual, like, in-game kind of...
Oh,
gun.
Yeah.
You know, it's a lot of dust, and I haven't moved it in a bit. But I'd say that this is perfect. Now...
Well, you would probably show it in the video.
Yeah.
But yeah, go ahead.
I would say you were talking about how the ghost handles. I hate how the Scorpion drives.
I didn't like it either.
It's that's like, fair. You're like, I'm like trying to turn around. I'm like, wait, where are you going? It's like, it has a mind of its own. And I spent literally 15 minutes trying to get it between two little barriers because I was going after an HVT and I was not going to go up with a Brute Chieftain without a Scorpion Tank. And I'm like, hold on. I'm like, I'm like doing all this, like, it was, and the thing about an infinite is, like, I guess they did this on purpose, but, like, you cannot go over a bump with anything. Like a Warthog, you're like, there's like a rock in front of you, and you're like, because you know some dingbat was going to take it off a mountain and just like,
that's, you're safe. That's what I'm, like, all the vehicles feel like they're riding on clouds.
Yeah, they all feel a little light. Like, the Warthog does feel too light. Like, yeah. You hit a little jump and you go flying.
Yeah, oh, this thing, right. It's like, it just turns. You're like, you're driving straight and it's like, eh. You're like, wait, hold on. But I'd say that, I mean, look-wise, the Scorpion Tank looks awesome. And I'd say even with, like, this little thing, I'd say this was probably pretty darn close. So
based off of that, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, because that came out in 2018?
Did it come out that early?
2018 or 2019?
It came out before the Pelican.
Around the 20th anniversary or the 10th anniversary stuff. So that'd been 19 then.
Yeah, late 19 though.
Yeah.
Because it was here today and gone today.
Yeah.
Yeah, it flew.
Yeah, it like hung out in Mexico and that was about it.
Yep. Yeah.
Cool. Anything? So let's talk about the Banshee then. So the Banshee, I've talked about it. I know. I think it's a chonky boy. It is a chonky boy in the game. There's not a lot of them around. You can't call it in because it's a banished vehicle. But some places you go, you'll see them swarming, and you can hijack them with your grapple shot. I'm just terrible at the Banshee. I don't know if it's this Banshee in general or it's just every Banshee. I don't know if there's any Banshee I'm really good at. But I can't fly it very well, and I want to like put on the brakes, you know, so I can like aim and shoot. But I'm always like drifting towards, and then I gotta fly.
I always just end up flying in circles around another Banshee. I'm like,
yeah, exactly. So, but I mean, I do think the one that Mega did, it looks like, you know, the one in game for the most part. So
I think the front part, like again, we were talking about the ghost. I think they nailed it.
Yep.
I like it.
Thoughts on the Banshee, Gabe?
It's
on sale at Amazon too.
To talk about like in game for a little bit, the Banshee's paper thin. I will choose a Wasp over the Banshee any day of the week. It just does not hold up. It's not as strong as I feel like it should be. But that's just my thoughts about the in game one. Mega's Banshee compared to the actual Banshee in there. Again, like with most of their banished vehicles, they keep just knocking it out of the park. Mm-hmm. Like it looks great.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't even know how they would do it. Maybe it would have to be a new piece. I kind of wish that the front wings, the largest wings on the Banshee, were more curved like they are in game. They have like blades on the front instead of just being the straight pieces.
Yep.
I feel like that's just one of the like real identifiable parts of the Infinite Banshee, but outside of that, just like everything else, design is awesome. They nailed the look again.
I also the only thing I'd say is I think in the front like plasma section, it feels like in game there's like a like here it feels like there's a piece missing. Like if you see the gap, like I feel like there's the top of the weapon.
Right.
Is I honestly to be honest I haven't really stared at the vehicles in Infinite like I haven't walked around. Yeah. You know what I mean? But like I remember.
You haven't.
Like this feels like it's missing this. Just as if I would make a critique.
Sure. Okay. All right. Yeah. So I'm looking at time, and I know we got to talk about these figures. I don't think we're gonna cover Jazzwares today, so we'll talk about Jazzwares a different day. Even though, like I said, I got my Jega here.
That's a good plan.
Well, but, we'll just bring him in because I want to talk about Jega.
You can still talk about Jega if you want, but we'll focus on Mega, and then if we get through the rest of the characters and figures in general, right, because we see like Jackals and all that other good stuff, maybe we can do a little speculation at the end, like what we want to see. But let's switch gears to the figures, and I'll let Gabe start. Which figure you want to start on?
All right, going straight in with the big guy. Eshram.
Oh,
so he came with the chopper.
Not the green big guy?
And not the green. Enough about that guy. Eshram is such a cool figure.
Yo, 100%.
Like, I know that not everybody's happy about the scaling of Brutes and everything, and in-game he's a really tanky guy, but the way that Mega designed his suit is super cool because instead of a vest piece that just slips over the torso, he's got these two, he's got a chest and a back, and they clasp together like a Spartan. And they managed to get his little ornamental, like, I don't even know what you would call them.
Handles.
Like the little prongs sticking off of his chest.
They're like ranking symbols.
Those even have the little detail on them. Like, they look amazing. And his head mold has his little chin. And he's got the scar on his eye. Like, I'm obsessed
does he have
with that
the one
figure. I have two of them now.
He's got the one red eye, too.
Yeah.
Because he's got, like, one.
Or no, I think it's just a hole.
Yeah, it's a hole.
The Mega Constructs figure, it's just a hole.
Yep.
But they poke the hole on one side.
I have two of these now. And I'm getting ready to make a custom Eshram with his... Speaking of... Yeah, so Eshram in-game, by the way. Oh, my God, that boss fight was terrifying. Like, I never want to do that again. That was horrible. That was the scariest thing ever.
At you.
Because, so like the first half, easy work. And then you get to the second half, and he pulls out the Diminisher of Hope, which is the official name for his battle axe.
Yeah.
And he can leap like 50 feet. He was insane.
Bro, I was just spamming that grapple shot
back
like
to Mega. I know.
I used thrust. I just thrusted backwards
the
entire time.
Oh, I didn't even think about thrust.
Yeah.
I would love to see Mega do, because he just came with a gray gravity hammer, which is a common theme for most of the Brutes, just give him a gravity hammer. But I would love like how they did Atriox's mace. Mm-hmm. If they went the extra mile and did Eshram's Diminisher of Hope axe, that would be amazing. I would be so happy.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
I think
so good.
I don't know, because I feel like with, like, if you look at Hyperius, they have that really cool banished, waist piece. I kind of wish Eshram had that, because it just looks like the part where his legs connect to his hips, he looks just a little, like, I think it adds a little more to it, so I would have rather have that, and I might, because, you know, we have so many Hyperius figures now, I might switch that out and give Eshram one. Just because.
Just like two.
Does he have a chieftain helmet on in that fight? Could you just throw a chieftain helmet on this guy and he'd be all ready to go?
Well, hold on.
He has.
Hold on. We'll do
he
this.
He has a helmet of his own.
Right. Which we'll probably get. But it's nice that Mega put the hole on top of Eshram's head for.
Right.
Jeez, it's harder than I thought.
That's what makes me think we'll probably get another Eshram with a helmet, maybe with an axe.
That'd be dope.
Like, I feel like there's plenty of room to do a different version of
him. Oh, when we get Halo Heroes Eshram, he's coming in battle armor.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I cannot get his head on this.
Love it.
Matt, what do you want to talk about after you get the
I'll jump to Hyperius.
Okay.
There you go.
Interestingly enough, in the grunt propaganda trash talk, they make a snide comment about Locke being a headhunter and that his head is on Esrim's shoulder. I mean, Hyperius' shoulder, or his helmet. So they're kind of making fun of it. So the thing about Hyperius is, you know, there was a lot of speculation about Locke's helmet, and I guess it's confirmed that it is Locke's helmet.
It technically could be, but it's just like a hunter helmet, right?
Right. But the grunt said Locke's helmet.
Oh, I guess you're right.
Yeah. So I guess technically it is, but I felt on a whole Hyperius was kind of throwaway, and I guess this will get into my part where I think a little bit was underwhelming. I kind of feel like the Hand of Aatrox went the way of the Knights of Ren, where they looked cool, but they just didn't really do anything with it. And Jega was cool, and that SOB is not dead. Yeah. You have heard it here first.
Jega, you think?
He's still alive. When he died, he went camo.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Or when you defeated him.
Yeah, when you defeated him. Yeah. He goes camo. That cat ain't dead. I didn't see nobody.
Matt, don't do this to me, Matt. Don't give me hope.
Okay, but this is I was talking just really quick on my so anyway, back to Hyperius. I still think he's a cool looking figure. You don't really get a close look at him in game because he's in a chopper, and so because
that was my chopper. I took that chopper pretty quick.
Yeah,
so he wasn't in that chopper very long.
I kicked him out of it. And then I blew him up, and I couldn't find his body. And I even looked for it because I wanted to see if he had that on his shoulder. I'm like, where the f*** is his body? And I'm like, oh! I'm like, no, just random brute. So next one I play it, I'll try to save his body when I kill him.
There you go.
But I still think he's a cool-looking figure. I think he's got still one of the sickest helmets out there. So Hyperius as the Hand of Aatrox.
I think it is interesting, though, that you said, you know, the Hand of Aatrox and the Knights of Ren kind of correlation. They only were able to develop certain characters. Like, so Jega got some development. Tremonius got some development, just a little bit. But the other guys just kind of show up, right? Mm-hmm. So they look cool.
Yeah.
Another thing I want to add about the boss fights is it's perfect for collectors like us, toy collectors, because we're going to get all these guys eventually.
Uh-huh.
If not, we're just going to keep Gabe in business, and he's going to create them all over time.
Let's go.
And
send them at me.
We'll have all of our high-value targets.
And because Jega's not dead.
Right, you finally get that Jega Mega.
See.
When they got to that cutscene and they're like, Aatrox is dead, I'm like, nah, I ain't seen nobody. I'm like, that guy ain't dead.
No, no way.
That guy survived 3 Spartan 2s and then beat the Master Chief like a ragdoll.
How about that, man? How about that?
Yeah, like... can we touch on that for just a sec? How we, like, the intro to Infinite is seeing who we've watched for 20 years be the ultimate badass get wiped, literally dragged across the floor by the biggest brute. Like, that was insane. He got demolished. Didn't stand a chance.
He just tossed him into Warthog, like into the tire, and just like
whipping
him
around. Drops him into spit. Like, oh my god.
Aatrox and this will be... Okay, so obviously Chief's getting a rematch.
I think so. Probably.
I hope.
Because that.
But it's not going to be a boxing match. It's not going to be a fist fight because Aatrox will win that. It's got to be something else, right?
Yeah. Well, thematic note. It's amazing if you look at Aatrox beat Chief alone, and then he beat Cortana alone. He beat the heroes of Halo divided, right? So when they're together, I'm sure they'll be able to take him out. But divided, they fell. Because he.
But where's Captain Cutter? Because Captain Cutter defeated Aatrox.
Yeah, that's true. On the game, on the mind game, he did. But like,
all right,
yeah.
I mean, I think we should get. If we ever do see Aatrox fall, I think you're gonna need some blue team action, little sibling.
Blue weapon. Yeah. You know, it'll be all that.
That'd be like sort of like Cap and Bucky fighting Iron Man.
Yeah, and then
would be something.
This is how you
Chief and Fred.
This is how you end the game. Chief takes off his helmet and he goes, John, Master Chief. This is the last face you'll ever see, and then just cracks Atriox's skull open.
I guess that's the Tim Burton version of Halo.
We're obviously all full spoilers, but this has me thinking about something too. So legendary ending, you see Atriox. Well, both endings, you see Atriox. But in the legendary ending, and maybe this is out there, maybe it doesn't exist, but you know at the very end when they give the weapon a chance to name herself Cortana, but she doesn't? Do you think she does that in the legendary ending?
Have you seen the legendary ending?
I've seen the legendary ending, yeah. So I know what goes on there. But like the lead up, if you're playing the game on legendary, and then that scene happens, does she name herself Cortana, or does she leave it kind of still?
I
got a great idea.
I think it was implied.
Yes, I believe she names herself Cortana. I feel like it was what else? I think I found the perfect one. What else was it gonna be? Like, of course,
mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, I think that's my thought. When she asked Chief, would it be okay?
Yeah.
That's when I'm like, oh, she wants to name herself Cortana. Yeah, see.
I'm content just calling her Weapon from on out. Mm-hmm. Like, that's all right. Let's just call her Weapon.
Well, if you look at it, in the game, they hinted a lot at Cortana named herself, right? Mm-hmm. So a clone copy of Cortana would name herself Cortana.
That's a good point. Yep.
Because it is, quite literally. It's Cortana without all of the bad parts, kind of.
Well, it's just a fresh Cortana, right?
Isn't there
Chief and Cortana never met.
Third brain action something.
Yeah. Maybe. Yeah, you go read some books and you'll figure out where that came from.
Yeah.
Okay.
go read some books.
So let's talk about Chief really quick. I think Chief, all 25 versions of him... Chief looks so good in Infinite.
Oh, Fudge.
Good.
Oh, yeah.
And the sound every that his shield Chief makes, armor. I'm like, ooh, ASMR. Yeah.
every cutscene, like, I'm just looking at, like, his biceps and his, like, chest armor, and just, he looks so tough.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The armor, they did change the armor from the 2020 E3 demo thing. It was lighter, and then it's darker now.
Yep.
So is the Halo Heroes 14 Chief? Is that more of the darker armor?
Yes.
More in line with the game?
That's actually very dark.
I would agree.
I have him in box. He is dark, way darker. But yeah, okay.
I feel like they made that adjustment probably.
Which is a good adjustment because Chief is sick.
Yeah. Because I'm looking at I know we weren't going to talk about Jazzwares, but the Jazzwares one that I have in front of me, it is a lighter green. Mm. And I think the earlier Infinite Chiefs we got were lighter green. And that's fine. Like, the armor looks good still.
The Warthog Rally Chief, just that kind of, like, fresh, clean-looking Master Chief figure, I feel like that color green's actually pretty close.
I was going to say dark, I was gonna say light. Pelican. I mean,
it's, like, right in the middle.
The Pelican.
Yeah, Pelican.
With the, fair, I like the
Pelican is a good one because it's got, like, the gray,
I think,
like,
right
silver
now,
outlines.
I think right now he's my favorite.
Mm-hmm.
Here he is.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, that's pretty accurate.
There he is.
But that was the first wave of sets, so yeah, that's a good point. So should we talk about Pilot quick?
Yep. Oh, I don't have him. Pilot.
He's I will say, I don't know. Am I allowed to talk about his name?
Yeah.
Because
go for it.
Yeah, it's a spoiler, but we've been spoiling everything
else already.
I mean, I told everybody Jake's alive.
So loudly when we got to the end of the game and he said, oh, my name is Esparza, Fernando Esparza, and I don't know if you all saw it, but like there was this enormous rumor where everyone thought that this leaked thing from a data mined Halo something Lucas Browning, they thought that was his name, and we got to the end of the game and it says, my name's Fernando Esparza, and I was like, what? Fernando. Your name is I laughed so hard. I'm going to tweet about it tomorrow. I'm going to make a tweet. You watch.
I think, and this is kind of weird, but like his name is of no consequence to the game. The only reason it's there is to set up the I'm gonna name myself Cortana because we can't keep calling me the weapon.
Right, that's
like,
a good point.
Yeah, it's like it doesn't make any sense why like he
why it was a secret.
Right, he could have just I don't care if he was a civilian contractor or a Marine. He would have had like a little Esparza name tag, right? Like, mm-hmm. Oh, you know, Lieutenant, mm-hmm. you know, or something. Fernando.
Can you imagine if we got to the end of the game and they were like, what was your, like, we can't keep calling you, you know, we don't even know your name. What is your name? And he was like, well, you may have known me as Noble Six.
I aim to please.
Like, what?
If that guy was Noble Six, I'd be like, wow, he just lost all his courage.
Yeah, he went down the drain quick.
My assumption is that it was just it didn't matter who he was really. Like he was a human.
He was the
that
everyman.
Had a family, but like his actual name doesn't really have any consequence in relation to Chief because all he like there is yeah. the human connection, right? But what his it never comes up, right?
I,
and it's never a big deal.
I found his call sign more impactful. Echo 216.
Echo.
Because it reminded me of Echo 419. Right. And I'm like, ah, I see what you did there. Echo 216, mm-hmm. Echo 419. I'm like, I can dig it. I ain't mad at it.
And in the context of like a military, like you're kind of, your last name is kind of, I guess it's who you are. But then we never really get into who he is besides he just has a family. He wants to get out of there.
Yeah, because like Chief didn't go, hi, I'm John.
Mm-hmm.
Nice to meet you, Fernando.
You're a soldier. I'm a soldier. Let's go.
I wish he did. I wish he did. Hi. I'm John. What a guy. What a guy.
Okay, so is that's all named characters from Mega, right? Do we have any more?
Well, there's Atriox.
Well, there's Atriox.
I thought the figure looks just like he did in the game. I think they did a nice job with the white. Like, I love the Atriox figure, and hopefully we get more.
Please.
Yeah, hopefully.
So, like, these guys, the value of this guy just
Yeah, exactly.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, the gummy version of him is perfect too because it there's the red holograms.
All the holograms.
I have that. Yeah, mm-hmm. I have that. Where did he come in? A blind bag?
Blind bag.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That was a fine.
The Warrior series blind packs.
Yeah, I'm glad I grabbed that, especially because like I know Gabe, you mentioned this earlier about Eshram being a red hologram for like most of the game. We kind of need a red Eshram, you know. And I like how it wasn't just all red, though. Like, there was shades of orange in there, like the Banished tech, which was nice. But, man.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it was like a Halo Wars 2 designed, you know, the original. But they really just carried that through. Like, that is Atriox.
Yeah.
So I thought they did a good job of carrying that through.
And I know we're going long, but I gotta say how so grateful and thankful that the Hunters in Infinite had this beautiful Banished paint job. Let's pour one out for the dead hunters, but they still look sick.
Yeah, they do. Yeah.
You know,
I remember the moment that I got to where do you first encounter them?
But the first hunters
when I remember
are blue.
First,
the first ones are blue.
The first, and I'm like,
you encounter blue ones, but when you get to like the House of Reckoning, and you're driving your tank or your Wraith or whatever,
and
you go down, and then there's two red hunters walk out. I literally yelled at my TV and was like, Mega was right! Oh my god! I was so excited.
Leonardo DiCaprio meme where he's like, oh, the thing! It's the thing!
I was so happy.
We have Pelican, and then we have the Wasp one, and we were, pre-show, we were talking about which one. I thought they looked more like the Pelican one. You guys thought they looked more like the Wasp, but
maybe it was just a lighting thing, like because you're fighting him in you know rooms and all that
sort of
stuff.
Select your brightness. Maybe it's a skin. Well, you can change the skin of your.
Ooh.
Now I'm upset that they do exist because now I need to get another of each one of them.
Especially if you get to the Myriad Hunter Bond.
It's real.
HVT.
Oh, yeah. What color are they?
I thought they were darker, but then again, I killed them all from a Wasp because the Wasp is like the perfect attack platform, unlike the Banshee where you're like, okay, I got to turn around at some point.
Swoop in and then, yeah.
I end up just crashing the Banshee.
Yeah, someone sneezes on you and you're dead.
I still think, okay, well, there's one part where you take, like, if you hijack a, and it was going around on socials, but like you hijack a banshee, and the elite goes, "The demon absconded with my vehicle." I'm like,
yeah, that's good.
Yeah.
I love it.
The enemy chatter in this game is probably the best in the whole series.
So good. Well, that's another thing. We need in a toy or something, we need like a little plushy grunt that just spouts, you know, all those those lines.
Yeah.
I almost feel like I'm looking at the script here at like the rest of the figures and things. I feel like we could probably just group together how we think of the brutes and the elites and the jackals and things.
Sure. Yeah.
Just in like a general sense of how we feel like they pulled off the banished.
I mean, Jackal is the biggest change, right?
Well,
I mean, you said general.
Yeah, going from Ruatan Jackals to Ibieshin, or Ibieshin to Ruatan Jackals. I can't remember which is which. All I know is the new Jackal molds look sick. Mm-hmm. I'm really excited for the sniper Jackal that's coming out.
Yeah,
I haven't even seen that one, but I already know that like that's going to be one of my favorite figures ever. And back to the like going to elites once again, I'm gonna praise the elite warlord because oh my god, what a sexy mold that is. Mega did amazing. I love it.
Top five figure, baby.
If you all haven't, I actually just recently posted a custom of Chaklok, who is one of the very first bosses that you meet.
I hated that guy
at the tower.
Screw that guy.
And he was a pain, but that mold in like metallic gold, like it just looks so good. Mm-hmm. And I hope they re-release more warlords, because I mean right now we only have the one in the hero series.
Yep.
Yeah.
And I really hope to see that a lot more.
And I bought three.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm telling you, you start changing these colors on these guys, there's no telling what you could do.
So the only thing we don't have a new version of that's in the game from an enemy standpoint, is the skirmishers. So the skirmishers make an appearance. Mm.
Well, though they came.
We do get the one from there's the pack, right?
That Reach
the
pack.
Oni pack. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And that's actually pretty good representation because they are red.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Mega was giving us a hint.
Well, see, here's an interesting factoid about Infinite's skirmishers. Is in Halo Reach, skirmishers were depicted as an entirely different species from jackals, which were the Tavoan.
Mm-hmm.
But in Infinite, if you actually have subtitles on and you watch, some of the dialogue comes as jackal skirmisher. And it's because the skirmishers are literally jackals, but they're the skirmisher rank.
Mm.
So really, Mega could make some attachments, like a helmet or something, to put on the jackal molds, and then you already have skirmishers.
Oh, there you go. Okay.
Oh, nice.
I feel like that'd be a good idea.
That's I thought we killed all those guys on Reach.
See? I think we
got one single skirmisher can infallible.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah, I appreciated there. I think it broke up the combat a little more, having them back in it, you know. I like the jackals.
They weren't super
more
difficult. They were just kind of slippery, right?
Yeah,
they just kind of moved.
They were like, oh, they moved quicker. Whereas with like the jackals, you just like the shield and the you know, same thing. I think it just added a nice little thing. What did you guys think of the what'd they call them? Skimmers?
Mules. Oh. The skimmers, yes.
Oh, yeah, the skimmers.
They're weird. I'm not sure if they're, like, baby harbingers or what they are. It's a new race of some sort.
I thought but they were, like,
see,
drone variants. I'm not, like, they not like actual
I got
species,
into,
but like they just replaced them.
I got into a little bit of a debate with Sacred Icon on Twitter.
Oh. Shout out to those guys. You guys are awesome.
The boys at Sacred Icon much prefer the skimmers to the Prometheans, which confused me a little bit because, to me, I much prefer the Prometheans to the skimmers. I found the skimmers in Infinite to be very boring.
They're easy.
They didn't
put up a fight.
Any sort of place. They just kind of float and they shoot. They don't really do anything. It's like a grunt with wings.
Yes.
I will wholeheartedly agree with you on that, Gabe. I found them to be kind of uneventful.
They just didn't have a need to be there. They were like unnecessary enemies that didn't need to be there.
Since Halo 2, or is it 3, when they'd introduced the drones? It must have been 2, right?
Yep.
Like, there's always been an aerial type of enemy. So they replaced that.
Yeah. The drone to me is a better alien than the Skimmer.
Yeah.
Because, like, I honestly agree as well.
They can hijack vehicles.
I honestly couldn't tell you what a Skimmer looks like. It looks like, is it like an alien with technology jetpacks, or is it like a completely technology?
It looks like a baby Harbinger. Yeah. If you look at it, it's got, like, little feet that curl under.
It does.
The Harbinger.
Yeah. It does. So we were just murdering all these little babies. That's kind of...
All her children.
Oh, gosh.
I don't know. Mm. But, yeah, there's maybe, like, a lore reason that drones and... actually, I think there is a lore region, like from the Rise of Atrex, the comic, the drones and the Banished don't get along. Mm. So that's probably why they didn't include them.
Aren't the drones like super big into tech though? Or is that the Jackals? Mm-hmm. Oh, yes.
They're super big into tech.
Yeah, because they're in the ODST thing. Like they would have been.
They're just kind of low end. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I love the Prometheans. I absolutely love the Prometheans. I don't care what anybody says, but.
Yeah, I really hope we see Prometheans in the future, to be honest.
Well, like, I think the Prometheans are dead. Cortana's done. She was the only one.
Well, no one's controlling the Prometheans, right? Like, somebody needs to control the Prometheans in order for them to be doing stuff.
Yeah, they've just gone back to defending what they were programmed to defend.
Yeah, they're just kind of back to wherever. So if you go somewhere where they're stationed, maybe they'll pop up.
Yeah, because look at the
Guardians. Because, like, in Halo 4, like, the Librarian was controlling them before you unlocked the Didact. And then the Didact takes them all over, and then Cortana eventually takes them all over. But without anybody controlling them behind the scenes, then...
And Aatrox probably would have taken over.
What did they do?
If Cortana hadn't sacrificed herself to destroy the ring.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm guessing when Cortana did that, she destroyed everything that's... Because there's a crashed Guardian, if you look over on the left...
I know that boggles my mind.
So, like, did she use the Guardians to destroy the ring, or did she just detonate that part of the ring and then the Guardians with it?
Yeah, there's a lot of questions to be answered, which is a true, you know, Halo form, right?
Yeah,
like that's how it works.
Well, what did you guys think of the Harbinger, just really quick?
I don't know. I have a lot of questions about her.
Go ahead, Colin.
I thought it was weird that they brought in a brand new villain character thing. I mean, I think it makes sense as you go further down the story hole, but it's also a completely new alien that we've never seen before. So it is a little bit of jarring. Like, oh, this is a new thing. Can't we use something that we are at least semi-familiar with? But
so it kind of posed them as a, because they were not killed by the ring.
Is she an endless, or is she not an endless?
Yeah, so that's what
it wasn't made clear. If she's an endless.
I don't believe that the Harbinger and the Endless are the same thing. I kind of agree. The Harbinger was trying to release the Endless, and the Endless. I believe the Endless are precursor, something precursor. Because how are you more dangerous than the Flood? How are you older than the Flood? How do you survive the firings of the Halo rings? You have to be precursor. Nothing has done that except the Flood, who were precursors. So I feel like that's the only logical answer.
And it'd be really kind of interesting, if you think about it, if the precursors returned because the Flood and the precursors are one and the same through a various kind of osmosis or whatever it is. It would be interesting if the precursors then control the Flood. And they bring them out to attack. So I tend to agree because Harbinger means like someone who hailed the coming of.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so to me, she was like the trumpet blast.
Matt with the literacy.
Yeah. The trumpet blast to announce the Endless have returned.
Mm-hmm.
Though she was pretty salty against the Forerunners. True. So either...
Yeah. Well, the Forerunners defeated the precursors, right? The precursors made the Forerunners, and the precursors mm-hmm. made humans. The Forerunners knew about the mantle of responsibility. The precursors gave the mantle of responsibility to humans. Forerunners didn't like that, so the Forerunners killed the precursors.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So maybe they indexed the precursors.
Into dust.
So then, why would the precursors be mad at humanity? Why would they team up with the Banished to kill humanity?
Don't know.
See, that's something.
Yeah, so we'll find all that stuff.
We need DLC. 343, please.
Right.
We'll find out that humanity was the one that actually destroyed the precursors.
So we'll eventually get an endless figure, and we'll find out what that is. The only thing we didn't mention was the Grunt Mule, and I thought the Grunt Mule was, I think, spot on. Like that, when you saw that first Grunt Mule like coming towards you down the hallway, you're like, hey, that's the thing. And then you killed him, and then his weapons flew all over. It was perfect, right? It made total sense. Like, that's why I have a UNSC weapon in the middle of this Forerunner building, is because this Grunt Mule was carrying it around.
Uh-huh.
I also like that the brutes carried human weapons. You know, I don't really remember seeing a brute warrior that we got in the Heroes. Like, I don't ever remember seeing this really cool Banished armor.
Yeah, I don't know if we did see that. It's a good point. The armor was different from the brutes.
There was the problem is that their shields,
like, and it was like blue.
The shields covered up a lot of what the color was. But there's those guys that like drop down and are like usually carrying a rocket launcher,
mm-hmm.
but they don't have a helmet. I don't think.
The guys that charge you don't.
They have
a helmet.
Helmets,
oh,
but
are
it's
these
not
guys
the
guy that charge
the
you?
Hero.
Maybe
they have a helmet though. They have something.
The ones that the berserkers have masks.
Yeah.
Right.
The gold ones have helmets similar to like a miner or like the underpart of a chieftain, but those from the Heroes are the same model as the purple shotgun brutes, except they're purple.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that because I made a custom one of those, and I had to reference a bunch of those pictures, and the armor is the same.
Yeah.
It's just, it's not that
this figure still remains sublime. But yeah, I don't remember seeing it in Infinite.
Oh yeah, that one's dope.
Yeah.
Infinite Marines. Pretty awesome.
Oh yeah, the Marines. That's the other thing. Marines are good. So like that Marine pack, like that's perfect, right? Because you get a ton of Marines and you get the one guy that just got his t-shirt on and he's bald and all that. Like that's perfect. Mm-hmm. So if hopefully you grab some of those. And they're on shelf right now. There's lots of them on shelf, which is perfect for all of your Infinite mocking. Yep.
There you go.
Grab a bunch
He's
of those.
Already got two
it's
more.
Perfect. Yep. Does those come with the little blast too? Your what do you call them? For when
muzzle
you do your
flash.
Stop motion, the muzzle flash. Yeah.
I don't remember, but I remember having a bunch now. So I want to say yes.
Yeah, because one of your stop motions, you have like a bunch of muzzle flashes going on. So
oh yeah,
I'm
that's
where that comes from.
Yeah, that was. They used to put them a lot more in sets.
Mm-hmm.
No, I have a bunch. Yeah, for my like my Become Hope one.
Right. Yeah. Cool, yeah. So overall, they're good because you get the – and the other thing is the Marines, you upgrade, right? As you're upgrading your forward operating base, like the Marines become better, like better equipped, and they have better
– Yeah, sniper, rocket, all kinds of stuff.
Yeah.
And so their armor looks good.
Mm-hmm. Yep, and there is good gender diversity too in game.
Yeah,
like you have. Yep. I was rolling around with two female Marines the other day. It was perfect, right?
Yeah.
So that's all good.
I think it was Joe that was saying that originally the Marines kind of stayed where they were, like where you found them or around their base. And he's like, no, they need to join you on your adventure, just like CE. And I love that if you walk up to a Marine. And I kind of wish they went the way of the Reach, where it shows you their names, like this person's in your company.
Oh, that'd be cool.
Yeah. But it like you, there's like this blue little bubble that comes around them, and they're like, "Hey, we're hanging with the chief." And so it's kind of neat that you're like, "Oh, we're."
Oh yeah, little thing, the little dot pops up. Yeah.
Like hey, you know, and they're like on your lead, you know, form up on the Master Chief. I'm like.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's
what. Man, I want to go play some. I'm gonna play some Infinite now.
Fudge,
let's go. Let's go.
I'm gonna go find Jenga's. Yeah. I'm telling you, man, that kid is alive.
Yeah,
you heard it here.
You're
that's
right.
a PE exclusive.
So I think that's good. We've talked about all the mega stuff. We just have to talk about the other stuff in a different episode, because otherwise we're going to go for a couple more hours. Yeah. There's Jazzwares, there's Nerf, there's the Thousand Toys, there's the Cable Guys thing. Like, there's a lot of stuff out there that mm-hmm. I feel like we could talk about, and how it's representing, you know, in the games and the multiplayer, all that sort of stuff. So we'll cover that separately. Before we close, do you guys want to talk about any community shout-outs? Matt, I'll start with you.
Community shout-outs. Yeah, I'll shout-out DC Outlaw. Been hanging out with him on Twitter and talking about his stuff. So, a lot of fun.
Okay.
And then, I just had his name. He did that stop motion we were talking about. Started with
him. Mutroid?
Mutroid, yes. Mutroid did some really cool stop motion. One day, I hope to be half as good as that. Because that stuff is straight fire. The way he makes things move is like, it's inspiring. So go check him out. That's cool. I'm sure you've already seen it.
Yeah, honestly. Charlie's very talented.
Gabe, you got anything?
So I did a shout out to this creator on the last episode for his custom pieces. But I once again wanted to give a shout out to Sassy Crocodile, except this time on YouTube, for his Chief versus Banished Outpost video.
Yo.
Which, by the way, has 169,000 views in a week.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, it's this so video good, is though. Pumping it's views.
It's he so good. The awesome. Way he did the shields.
And you should definitely go subscribe to Brody if you can.
Yeah, the shields and, like, the grapple shot. Yep. He has, like, give a little slack. Mm-hmm. Oh. It's very good.
He's a master craft.
He did a great job.
I hope one day to be half as good as him too.
I think we always shout him out, but again, just back to Brickman, like, back that AA gun is so perfect.
Yeah.
That project is just perfect. He took a chance on it, and I think he nailed it too.
Oh yeah.
100%. Not only what he created, but like how important it is in the game. So well done, sir. Looking forward to maybe having you on a show soon.
Talking about
we'll do a little teaser.
Coming back.
Maybe. Well, shout out to everybody that's like playing Infinite right now. Hope you're all loving it. And John on the drift.
Yeah.
Hope you guys are enjoying it. Hope you're kicking Banished butt.
Yeah. Like you absolutely. Do. Absolutely. Yeah. Want a quick shout out for all our patrons. We've got a bunch of patrons recently, which is fantastic with Podcast Evolve. So thank you for joining. And that will do it for the show. Thanks for joining Builds with Blocks. If you like the show, as I said, feel free to join Podcast Evolved on Patreon. Until next time, evolve.
Evolve.
Evolve.